Good afternoon. We're back with another episode of the Shamo Hoops Pod here with Mikey V, frequent guest. We're doing a redo on the one from last week, which unfortunately did not get recorded, but now we're recording this March Madness, the start of March Madness. So we're going to go through the brackets, go through upsets, players to watch, and just have a general NCAA discussion as March is finally here. And now we're in the thick of things for the next 3 weeks. So, Mikey, how are you doing today?
Doing well, Sean. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. You know, probably last week when we were chatting, probably didn't think your Oregon Ducks were gonna make it. So that must be exciting for you.
Oh, it was a really great Pac-12 tournament. Yeah, couldn't really believe it, but always kind of assumed that somebody from outside of the top two teams might steal a bid, and glad that it was University of Oregon. But yeah, they kind of ran through the thing, so it was a really nice 4 days.
Yeah, well, they had the playing game and then had a tough semifinal win before blowing out Washington in the
championship. Yeah, they beat 3-2-1.
Pretty impressive, and we'll definitely get to Oregon and Louis King and Peyton Pritchard's resurgence in the South bracket. But want to start in the East, where we have the overall number one seed Duke, and I think most people have been penciling in Duke to the championship game and the championship. I definitely did when I first saw this bracket come out. So, how do you feel about the East bracket in general?
Well, I think, yeah, it's looking like it's Duke. You know, they face a Virginia Tech team that beat them at Virginia Tech. But at the same time, they have Zion back. That's going to be a really big part. Just the way they played through the ACC tournament, he's just such a dominant force. And, you know, they can get through some teams without shooting, but if they're shooting, then they're just flat out unstoppable, as we saw against Kentucky at start the year. But yeah, they've just had a few of those games where it looks like there'll be a really tough out. And yeah, certainly I think the bracket really favors them.
Yeah, I've read some articles where it's saying it was the toughest bracket, but I don't really see that. And, you know, I was kind of looking for a team that could potentially upset them. You know, I think while they did not really run through the ACC because it took them, you know, kind of a last second shot and then a miss by Carolina.
True.
But, you know, with Zion just getting back, he was still getting into the swing of things. And, you know, right now they are still a pretty horrid shooting team. Zion definitely helps that. But, you know, for some reason, if he gets into foul trouble, then you have RJ gunning from the outside, which, you know, usually good things are not happening unless it's at UVA with that. But I really don't see a team in this bracket that can stop them. You know, if you look down at the 2-seed Michigan State, I know they won the Big Ten, beat Michigan 3 times. But besides for Cassius Winston, you know, if they were to get to the Elite Eight, I think Duke would run through them. I could see them easily losing in the second round. I mean, if Bradley had any type of offense, I could also see the 2-15 upset. But you know, what are some of the teams and games or matchups that you're looking forward to in the East?
I'm hoping Michigan State Louisville. Like, yeah, that would be a really nice one. I know, like, a popular upset is Belmont over Maryland, and I think LSU is going to have a tough time, man. Like, I feel like they could really struggle just with all the drama and everything going on there. They're a young team, too. So, yeah, I don't know. I could see possible upsets happening there. Yeah, the Virginia Tech versus St. Louis should be an interesting game, too, even though I think Virginia Tech will end up winning that one. But yeah, I think that the one I'm really hoping for is Michigan State versus Louisville. And then if LSU somehow manages to you know, get to the Elite Eight against Duke, that would be really cool too. I feel like Michigan State is one of those teams that's just overachieved all year.
Yep.
And you never really want to bet against Tom Izzo in the tournament. Every time I do that, Michigan State is one of those teams where every time you bet on them, then something happens, and then every time you bet against them, then they kill it. I feel like, I'm picking that Louisville-Michigan State upset. So, we'll see what happens there. But, college basketball this year, I feel like there isn't one team that just, you know, looks to kind of be that unbeatable team. And even with Duke having, you know, such immense talent in their starting five, they have no depth. So if one of those guys gets into foul trouble, then they could have some real issues going on there. Alex O'Connell hasn't necessarily been, like, he's a good shooter, but he hasn't been, like, that guy who's gotten necessarily, like, the regular minutes that you would maybe hope in on a team with such little depth. And Jack White just, like, you never know if he's going to shoot. And if he's not shooting, then it can be really rough when they bring in guys off the bench, because there's no guarantee from those starters.
Yeah, I would agree. I think LSU is really interesting. A lot of talent, but young and inexperienced. And now with a new coach, I think they should, you know, be able to handle Yale. But, you know, Yale does have some even potential NBA talent and probably a...
Yeah, Mie Ohni.
Yep, pretty smart.
And they have some good athletes, yeah.
And looking at this, Virginia Tech, Mississippi State, a lot of people are high on Virginia Tech, especially with Robinson getting back. St. Louis, I don't think is that – I know they had a good A-10 showing, or very good A-10 showing, but I don't see them kind of pulling the upset. I say UCF.
They're scrappy, though.
They can be scrappy, but you need some offense as well, and I don't think they
have
much of that. So there's not a whole – I mean, the Louisville-Michigan State, I mean, I could see Minnesota and Jordan Murphy and Amir Coffey definitely playing above what they've shown and beating Louisville, especially if Jordan Nwora has a poor shooting night. But I could also see Louisville potentially even going to the Elite Eight. So it's a big kind of swing for them, but would not be surprised if they did beat Minnesota, if they follow that up with a Big Ten sweep in that opening weekend.
Yeah.
I think we're both in agreement that Duke will most likely be coming out of this bracket.
Oh, yeah. I think Duke's – I kind of went back on Duke in the team that I would pick to win it all, but I don't know. I think I'm rolling with them. I think
all
I'm
right,
back
so what,
on
well, what do you think? Do you see Virginia Tech and Mississippi State matching up in the second round?
What do I think of that? Or
One, do you think they will match up? So I guess not having an upset to Liberty or St. Louis.
Yeah.
And then two, who would you have winning
like
that game?
I have Virginia Tech, especially with Robinson back. Yeah. I feel like Virginia Tech, I know you've kind of given them a hard time, and they're not necessarily like, you know, the greatest team. And, Mississippi State has some interesting guards, and they have some guys that can get hot. But, yeah, I feel like with Robinson, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and then Kerry Blackshear, Virginia Tech's going to be a pretty tough team to beat there.
Yeah, I think it actually could be a pretty entertaining game, one I might look to take the over on. But you have on Mississippi State, and this is a team I have not watched a lot of, but you have some talented players in Quindary Weatherspoon and Lamar Peters, and then you have a freshman, Reggie Perry, McDonald's All-American, to go with Eric Holman. So, and then, hasn't been playing that well, but Robert Woodard. So you have a talented group of players on that team as well as Virginia Tech. But last question on this bracket, because this one doesn't really excite me a whole lot, but if you had to guess, when was the last time Michigan State made it out of the opening weekend?
Ooh. Yeah, because haven't they lost the last couple years?
Yep. So 2015, when they lost, when they kind of, I guess, overachieved and lost to Duke in the Final Four. But then 2016, that was the Middle Tennessee 215. And then you had following year, Kansas beat them in the second round. And then last year was Syracuse in a high scoring 55-53 ball game. So yeah. That being said, it'll be interesting to see if they can make it out. But I know everybody loves Izzo in March, but that hasn't really been the case the past few years.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, well, the years you bet against them, as well. I'm telling you, that's the problem. You never know.
All right. Well, moving to the West, and as a UNC guy, I was hoping somehow UNC would get a 2 seed out West. Unfortunately, they got a 1 seed in the Midwest, which I think is definitely a little harder. Once again, you have Michigan as a 2 seed out West. You have Gonzaga number one. You definitely have some, I think, more interesting teams and matchups, but do you see Gonzaga getting upset early on, or how do you see the Zags faring this year after falling out early last year?
I feel like they're going to do well. Like, I feel like this is a bit better situation as far as just their team set up. Brendan Clark's been so huge for them. And, you know, Tilly's back. They've got a really nice team. And I think there's a good chance that they come out of this region. Florida State is going to be a tough matchup if they get to the 16. I feel like, you know, they've been playing really well. They're really deep. They have some shooting. So that could be a good one. But as we saw, like, you know, with all of Duke's size, Gonzaga took a huge advantage of that. So I think that, you know, they could possibly play Florida State really well. And then, yeah, like, you know, you feel the same way as I do about Michigan. You know, you never really know with them. And you know, Nevada or even Florida, like, that could be a pretty tough matchup for Michigan. And then, yeah, Texas Tech, they're a good group of guys. And Culver's been, like, a legit star for them this year. And he has some definite help there and a lot of senior leadership.
Yeah, I think to me, all these games are entertaining besides for Syracuse Baylor. And this is just a case of two mediocre teams that will play each other. Although we've seen Syracuse come in as a mediocre team and then make it all the way to the Final Four at times. So they could, you know, put up a stinker against Baylor or go on and beat Gonzaga. But you know, all the other games, Gonzaga, I think them losing to St. Mary's is actually a good thing because, you know, if they had won that, they win the West Coast Conference, and they've gone really since playing Tennessee and North Carolina in December from losing. So really just not having any competitive games. And now I think Mark Few is probably able to use that to focus their attention and you know, avoid an early upset this year. To go along with their talent, I think Hachimura and Clark, very strong. And Killian Tilly, I was definitely very tempted to pick him in some of my player pools, but just didn't know how much playing time he would get. But I think he's starting to come around and probably had a good week of practice. Florida State, Vermont, a lot of people are high on Florida State. I think Vermont could be at least interesting with Anthony Lamb. Vermont's kind of run through that conference the past few years, but have always faltered in the tournament. You know, UMBC the year before upsetting them as 10-point underdogs, and then this year they return the favor. Buffalo, Arizona State, you have Bobby Hurley coaching against his former school. Texas Tech, Northern Kentucky, really interested to see Jared Culver play some more. But you know, Northern Kentucky, some good guys, Drew McDonald and Jalen Tate, who played on the Nike EYBL circuit. And then Nevada, you know, top really, what, 5 or 10 team for a good majority of the year before falling off, but a very senior laden team. And then and then Michigan. So
all like 5th year seniors too.
Yeah, well, 5th or 6th year.
Yeah.
So Michigan, I mean, for me, I think they got an easy bracket, but I've got to stick with what I was saying in back in December when they're undefeated, that they would be getting knocked out in the opening weekend. It might be a little, you know, was going out on a big limb there since they were looking at a one seed at that point, and it's still out on a limb. But, you know, I would have seen Montana potentially beating them if their best player, Jamar Eco, was playing. I don't think he will. So they'll probably be able to have a nice comfy victory there. But then if Nevada wins, you know, the Martin brothers and Jordan Caroline could definitely give Michigan a problem in the second round. Yeah. So, and then the one I skipped over and interested to take on this, Marquette Murray State with the two of the higher scoring guards in the tournament with John Morant and then Sean Mahoop's favorite Marcus Howard, who's might be battling kind of a wrist injury from the Big East, but still to me this game is probably one of the better games of the day.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. That's going to be the game I'm most intent to watch. I thought it was really, a lot of people have said that, you know, it's not much of a future NBA matchup for John Morant because Marcus is, not necessarily who's going to be guarding since he's such a unique player. But, yeah, two of the best bucket getters in the NCAA right now. And I feel like Marquette has a pretty solid team surrounding him. Murray State is really athletic too. And, you know, John Morant's not completely alone, but yeah, I feel like Marquette's going to take this one. And I really hope that Marcus Howard doesn't have any adverse effects from the wrist injury from the Big East tournament.
Yeah. I mean, it would be nice to see him playing at full strength and see, you know, which player can get to 30 points, who gets the 31st. But I mean, for Marquette, they've been looking forward to this for a while. Flashback or kind of rewind 2 years ago, and they're playing South Carolina, and they're up at the half. And then South Carolina just went on a huge run in the second half, and then that led them all the way to the Final Four. So then last year, Marquette did not make it. So they've been kind of waiting a while to get back to this point. So I think I'm really excited to watch that game and watch John Morant kind of on a bigger stage than just the OVC tourney. So to me on, I guess we're recording this Wednesday, but on the first game day, this game is at 4:20 PM Eastern and is probably for me, the one I'm getting most excited about early on.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm very excited about that one.
All right. Moving on to the other side of the bracket, the South. So we have UVA number one, Tennessee number two, and then Ole Miss, Oklahoma. I think you can flip a coin for that. I've been going with Oklahoma, but don't really have. Dog in that fight. Wisconsin, Oregon. I definitely want to chat about Kansas State, UC Irvine. UC Irvine's been kind of a upset favorite. Villanova, St. Mary's, I think will be a great game. Purdue, Old Dominion. I know Old Dominion's offense is not the greatest, but they were, kind of the cream of the crop in the Conference USA with some transfers, some high major transfers at Old Dominion. Cincinnati, coming off of their Big East championship win versus Iowa, Luka Garza, and some other town of players. And you have Tennessee and my Colgate boys. But I think Tennessee is going to be too tough. I think for me, I think that top part of Villanova, St. Mary's, Purdue, Old Dominion is pretty interesting, especially a potential Villanova-Purdue game. Who do you kind of have in maybe that lower half of the South bracket?
I think Cincinnati's I kind of couldn't believe that they were a 7 seed. I thought that, that might be a pretty tough one for Tennessee. So I really like this Tennessee team and think they have some really good senior leadership there. And just Grant Williams is one of college basketball's, I think, most talented players. But Cincinnati is a really tough team. But even that draw with Iowa, That's not going to be an easy game. Though it's in Ohio, so kind of favors them. Cincinnati is one I wouldn't turn away from as a possible upset. And then I know Purdue's played really well this year, and Carson Edwards is, like, again, like another one of those, like, tiny bucket guards that just dominates college basketball. And they have a few big guys who, you know, play pretty well too. But, yeah, Villanova, man, you never know with those guys. And it seems like, you know, they kind of are coming along at the right time. I don't know. I think I would probably go Tennessee, Villanova for the Sweet 16 there. But yeah, what do you think?
I kind of agree with you on that. I think Villanova, Phil Booth and Pascal, very interesting, kind of bought on them earlier. I know they struggled toward the end, but, you know, I still like them. They definitely don't have that long-term potential, but they do have that experience that can get them a game or two and also an upset victory over Purdue. I think St. Mary's will be, you know, I love watching Jordan Ford. I think he's might be the quickest player with the ball in his hands in the tournament. And I think, you know, probably not a lot of people got to watch him play. And I know he's so small, but he's pretty fun to watch. You know, then kind of going up. So obviously the number one seed, UVA, and they the only team to lose to a 16 team last year. The year before, as a 5 seed, I believe, a 4 or 5, they lost to Florida, not breaking 40 points in the second weekend. And then 3 years ago, they look like they are, headed to the Final Four and have that collapse against Syracuse in the second half. And I'm kind of curious, are we going to be talking about Virginia and what their tournament problems are, either next week or the week after, or, you know, could this be the breakout year that everybody has been waiting for?
Oh, like after the first week, I think they'll get through. It's going to be one of those things where, like last year, I think it was kind of a perfect storm of a lot of things as well. Like, you know, playing against a team that had a few former, like, high major level transfers and stuff like that. I feel like Virginia is definitely a threat to win this region, like, really highly. And, and also last year, not having DeAndre Hunter, I think that would have been a thing that really helped them, in particular in that first game. Again, they're just such a solid team. They've got those big guys that, you know, you can kind of interchange, and each one does a different thing, like in Jack Salt just setting screens and knocking people on their butt, or Mamadou Diakité with his rim running and, you know, kind of a little bounce there. And Jay Huff has the ability to possibly stretch a little bit. Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter, three of the best players in the ACC this year. And I just think it's going to be really tough to upset these guys on that first weekend. And I don't know, I think they get to the Elite Eight pretty easily. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think looking at the bracket, you're trying to look, okay, what teams could pose problems? They got dominated by Duke and then lost to Florida State. So what do those three teams have in common? Size and athleticism. But you look in this bracket, and it's teams that play a similar style to them, a slower paced style. So to beat UVA, you need to get them out of what they're comfortable doing, and I don't really see anybody that is capable of doing that. And I mean, I think if they were to match up with Tennessee, I think that's just a really good, talented battle. So it's not like Tennessee would have to do anything differently. I think it would still be a competitive game, but definitely don't see Ole Miss or Oklahoma posing much of a threat. So I think it'll be kind of like 2016, where they should have a fairly simple march to the Elite Eight. But Obviously, want to get your take on the Wisconsin-Oregon matchup, the 5-12.
Yeah, I am. I'm really excited about that one. I feel like Oregon has a definite chance here. Ethan Happ has been one of the best players in college basketball for the past couple years. But, you know, another, like a guy you can't really have on the floor at the end of the game. Oregon is just all over the place. You never really know what's going to happen there. Peyton Pritchard really started to kind of be his old self during the Pac-12 tournament, which was nice to see. Looking for a shot at the same time, you know, able to create shots for himself, having some really nice drives to the basket that I was really impressed with, including that slam dunk near the end of the Washington game, which I think shocked a lot of people. But yeah, Oregon, you know, the whole thing with Oregon being that team that won 8 games, 10 the season, like, you know, they're the hottest team in the nation right now. But at the same time, you know, if they get slowed down and they have trouble scoring, which we all know Wisconsin plays some great fundamental basketball and usually plays some really solid defense. That could end up being a tough game for them, but I feel like the Ducks are going to shock the world, man. That's what I'm going for right now, at least what my heart says. And I'm picking the 12-5 upset there.
So shock the world is 2-point underdogs against Wisconsin.
Yeah, Sean, that's a shocker.
All right, I've over the years, I definitely have lost some money betting on Oregon against Wisconsin. I think two years they played them very tough. You know, as an 8 seed or Joe Young years,
for
and
sure.
Was looking for a nice payout, and then Wisconsin's kind of pulled away at the end. So I'm wary, especially knowing, you know, Ethan Happ and having seen Oregon through
different Wisconsin.
What's
different
that?
Different Wisconsin too. Different Wisconsin now.
Yeah. You know, I always kind of have my Big Ten bias, so I'm leaning towards Oregon, and I think as you're talking about Peyton Pritchard, it doesn't seem that long ago that Oregon had just been in the LA area and they had got smoked by USC in kind of a lackadaisical game, and then had their UCLA game where they let Jalen Hands go absolutely nuts after being up pretty big at half. But look at Peyton Pritchard, and really since that USC game, he's been in double figures every game except for one, I believe, which was against Washington State in the first game. And if he's playing well, which I think we all know how talented he is, if he's playing well, you know, you put Paul White, a fifth-year senior that can, you know, shoot, stretch the floor, and then you have Wooten and Okoro, you have Louis the King, Will Richardson. So you definitely have some talent to go along with a good coach. And I mean, trying to, you know, I could easily see them losing to Wisconsin, but I could see them making the Sweet 16. So I think they're an interesting team to watch for sure.
Yeah, that next round is going to be the one that really breaks things up. But I think just through the Pac-12 tournament, we saw Dan Altman and like. Ever since they've moved to the bigger starting lineup, which is Okoro, Wooten, Paul White, Louis King, all of them listed at 6'9". Granted, they may be like an inch or two below that, but listed at NCAA 6'9". And Peyton Pritchard ran the point. That lineup has just seemed to do something for the Ducks. And they lost that UCLA game. And it was on the road too, like that's the other major thing, but then, you know, beat UW on the road. I think that, they could pose some possible matchup problems, and, the shooting has been the key. And, if Peyton has the ability to, you know, make a few 3-pointers, Louis King, you know, able to possibly attack the basket at times, get to the free throw line. He's been doing that pretty frequently. The Ducks could do some good things. At the same time, Wisconsin does have like a legitimate All-American. And as always, like, you know, they're shooting and, you know, some guys around him. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough one. I really think – I know Dean Wade's hurt for Kansas State, and UC Irvine, like, throttled the Big West. So that could be a good game. But, yeah, I feel like Oregon also has a chance in the game after that one. And I think the fun's over against UVA.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think Max Hazard for Irvine is intriguing. You know, they haven't lost since January 16th against Long Beach State, but at the same time, didn't really have any. They did beat A&M at the second game of the year, but we saw what happened to A&M. And Kansas State, you know, they played really well. I feel like Wade's been hurt. Like, I feel he's always hurt. And we know they have some talented guards. But I think it'll be interesting to see, I guess, who gets to UVA in the Sweet 16. And then depending on if Tennessee can advance to that Elite Eight, I think, you know, that could be one of the top, really the top, you know, 1-2 punch. Or, yeah, 1-2 matchup, I should say.
Yeah.
Well, moving on to the Midwest, which I think is the most difficult bracket, trying to be unbiased here. But you have UNC in the Midwest as a 1 seed, Kentucky as a 2, Houston as a 3, and then Kansas as a 4. I guess high level, who do you have coming out of this one?
I have Kentucky.
Are you worried about PJ Washington at all?
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm terrified if PJ Washington doesn't play for Kentucky. And, you know, a potential matchup of a rematch of Seton Hall versus Kentucky. That was a great game early in the year that Seton Hall actually won. But, yeah, if everything I've heard is that they were just doing it for precautionary measures. Has there been any further info as far as PJ like not playing in the game or anything like that?
I think it'd be smart to hold him out the first game,
at least the first. I don't
see Abilene Christian giving them much difficulty, but I mean, anytime a guy's in a boot and then is playing on it, you know, 2 out of 3 days in a row, that could cause some issues. And if he's out, you know, he's their beast down low and kind of veteran, I guess you could say. So, you know, I think, you know, Kentucky has a very strong chance of going to the Final Four. But there's a lot of intriguing matchups. I think Wofford Seton Hall is a really fun one with Miles Powell and Fletcher McGee. Wofford, mm-hmm. one of the top 3-point shooting teams in the country, comes in as a favorite, but you have Seton Hall that's been playing really well as of late.
Third team.
And you have Iowa State, who ran through the Big 12 tournament as a 6 seed, going up against a struggling Ohio State, but now they have Caleb Wesson back. So maybe they could pose a threat. And then you have
Iowa State's been one of my favorites this year. I'm just going out and saying that. I think they have a really good chance of making it to the second weekend.
Iowa State?
Yeah.
Yep. I guess Houston. So, is everybody just kind of passing over Houston, or, you know, will we be seeing them playing Kentucky in that Sweet 16?
I feel like I'm taking Iowa State. I just feel like, you know, the matchup works that way. Houston, certainly, like, you know, a good team, have some really good guards and some great shooting, which always helps in the tournament. But I think Iowa State does as well. And, you know, they have just a lot of wings that I really like. Mero Shayok, I think, was a fantastic. And when Virginia did well in the NCAA tournament, that was Mario was like a large part of that. And then, you know, you have like Talen Horton Tucker, Tyrese Halliburton has been like one of the
the ESPN draft special, right?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, he was listed there. Yeah, well, he's really, really low usage, but he has like a Monte Morris level, like assist to turnover ratio. And he's taller than Monte, and you know, he plays his role really well right now. But yeah, I just don't think that you could like be too confident drafting him this year. I saw on Kevin Pelton's big board, he was number 6, I believe. And yeah, I don't know if I'd feel that confident taking him there, but certainly some potential. And yeah, I don't know. I would say it's just been one of my favorite teams to watch this year. And I feel like they could have a pretty nice run in the NCAA tournament.
Okay, well, moving to the top half of the bracket, you have UNC, then I think probably the most entertaining 8-9 matchup in Utah State and Washington. There are two teams I was intrigued by last week, and Washington ran through the Pac-12 regular season 15-3. We know the lack of strength there, but they do have some talent in Jalen Noel, Noah Dickerson, Crisp, and a few other guys. So definitely some talent. Thibault with his defensive ability. And then you have Utah State with Sam Morrell and Nemeas Kwakta, the shot-blocking force, the freshman. So I think there you have probably one of the more intriguing, well, actually the most entertaining 8-9 matchup. All right, so fast forward to, I guess, a Sweet 16. Who do you have on that side in the Sweet 16?
I would have North Carolina.
Yeah.
Auburn. So I'm taking Auburn over Kansas, and I'm saying that we're not going to have to worry about that North Carolina versus a Kansas matchup in Missouri. And then the other one, I would say Iowa State and Kentucky. Yeah.
Then you have, who do you have going in the Elite Eight?
I think it could be a Kentucky-UNC rematch from earlier in the season.
And is UNC going to exact revenge like they did in 2017?
I don't think so, but I think it's absolutely a possibility. But yeah, it's like nobody has a tougher road than UNC, unfortunately, of the number ones. I feel like there are some really like teams that are doing really well or just are flat out really good teams in this region.
Yeah, I mean, if things kind of hold to form, UNC definitely has the toughest Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and then obviously Final Four and Championship
yeah.
game, where most other teams aren't. Could potentially not get challenged really until the Elite Eight.
Utah State, like that's not like a bad, that's a pretty solid matchup for a second round.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to shoot well. Kobe White's going to have to be on his A game, and then they're going to have to get stuff out of their bench. So last year they got smoked by A&M in the second round, and they were playing well coming into the tournament. But this year, they're going to have to stay focused and shoot well, but they're definitely going to get tested, whether that's Kansas and Kansas City. Roy's still 0-3 against Bill Self with 3 losses in the tournament. So even though they're, have lost some players in Vic and Azubuki, they still have Devon Dotson, who I think him matching up with Kobe White. I could see Kobe maybe getting a little amped up for that matchup, just given kind of their backgrounds. And then you still have the twins that can pose some problems. So then you have Auburn.
What about, Auburn, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say they're high-powered guards and Bruce Pearl and the big men that they have. So they definitely have a lot of skill and athleticism as well.
I couldn't believe Auburn was a 5.
I feel more comfortable.
Oh, like they played up.
With Auburn, actually, though.
Yeah.
But,
oh, yeah.
We'll see. And then I think the UNC-Kentucky game, if it were to get to that, could be pretty intriguing and definitely another slugfest. Yeah. But
I think it absolutely will depend on PJ Washington being healthy, though. Like,
yep.
Yeah, that's Kentucky with PJ Washington was kind of what I was thinking there. But, yeah, hearing about all this boot talk, I may need to reevaluate. But, yeah, like it at least seems like it might be one of those precautionary measure kind of things. I feel like they would have said or something would have come out if, you know, it was really like a season ending injury or something that's going to cause him to miss like the whole first weekend.
Yeah. So it's, so based on this, it seems you have Duke, Gonzaga, Kentucky, and then UVA or Tennessee. So an SEC battle on one side and then a rematch of the Duke Gonzaga game on another. Are we going to be seeing a rematch of the first game of the season, Duke Kentucky, or who do you have? Who do you have?
I'm going Duke Tennessee.
Duke Tennessee, and yeah. I'm going to guess Duke with the victory.
I have Duke winning it all. But what I'm most interested in, Sean Mo Hoops, is to know what your Final Four looks like and who you have winning it all.
All right, so I've. You know, if Duke were in another bracket, might have them losing, but don't see them getting upset, especially with how tough I could see, you know, Zion playing in the tournament. I think I'm going to match you with Gonzaga. And then it's kind of like, here's the thing. We're going into this year talking about it's not a strong year. The draft is one of the weakest drafts in history. So, when you're looking at that, that obviously means there's not the teams at the top aren't going to be as talented, but it also seems like the teams below are even weaker than normal. But I mean, you know, just looking at, all right, let's 2017, for example, you have a 4-7 in the Elite Eight, a 1-11. And then on the other side, it goes more normal, 1-3 and then a 1-2. And last year was pretty similar where, you had a 9-11 in Kansas State, Loyola, Chicago, and a 9-3 in Florida State, Michigan. And then it kind of gets back to normal of Villanova, Texas Tech, and Kansas Duke, a 1-2. So right now, you know, we're both going through it and picking a lot of chalk, but
I know it's so tough to pick the upsets though. Like that's the thing. Like, you know, the reason that these teams usually have high seeds is because they played exceptionally well throughout the year. And, you know, their full body of work kind of gives them that. I was happy to have like a few kind of lower seeds that I felt were just maybe better than the teams they were playing. I feel like that Auburn Kansas one, like, you know, to me, it would be really surprising to me if Kansas beat Auburn. Like that's one I would hold pretty tight on.
So I have assuming PJ is healthy, I'm gonna go a rematch of the first game of the year of Duke Kentucky, and it'll be a lot more competitive. Yeah. But we'll go with Duke winning it.
Okay.
And I'll have UVA in the Final Four going against Kentucky.
Wow. So yeah, you have 3-1s. I have
which I hate. I hate even going through that.
Yeah. 2-2.
But all right, well, getting out of the chalk, we didn't really talk. I mean, there's going to be, I mean, whether it's a 13-4 or a 14-3 or, I mean, definitely a 5-12. But, you know, we talked about UC Irvine, potentially Kansas State. I'm curious, looking at the 15s, as I said, Montana, if they had their best player, which I don't think they do. Bradley, offense is horrible, so I don't think so. Abilene Christian, nope. And Colgate, who I like, but not against Tennessee. So kind of ruling out the 15s. But kind of two 14s that I've been looking at. To be honest with you, they're all kind of intriguing in one way or the other. But the two I've been looking at, Georgia State, they have DeMarcus Simons, a high-scoring guard. Not the best shooter from outside, but really athletic that I know is kind of received definitely some NBA attention the past 2 years, and they have some good wing shooters going against Houston. And then you have Northern Kentucky who has some talented players as well. So I wouldn't be totally surprised if, you know, one of those pulled kind of one of the bigger upsets. And then Old Dominion, we were kind of talking about them earlier. Mm-hmm. And really good defensive team. I wish they had a little bit more offense, especially going against a team such as Purdue. But, you know, in that one, you have BJ Stith and Ahmad Carver.
Former Virginia player.
Yeah. And so you do have some talent there, but you know, I think Purdue will get that one, but I am very intrigued by the Houston, Georgia State, and to a lesser extent, Northern Kentucky, Texas Tech, those games. And then two other ones I've kind of been looking at. I think New Mexico State is really deep and talented. I just feel like of all the five seeds that they could play, Auburn's probably a tough matchup for them. But then, you know, everybody's talking about, okay, Kansas is not going to make it to the Sweet 16. They're going to lose to Auburn. And I still think they make the Sweet 16 and play well in Kansas City. But when you're looking at Northeastern, you know, they're one of the top 3-point shooting teams in the country. Their best player, Vasa Pusica, is averaging 18 points a game, shooting 40%. And then you have basically four of their top five scorers shoot 40% from the 3-point line. So obviously when you're playing in a 40-minute game and you get hot and you're an underdog and you're shooting well, things can happen. So that was one game I wasn't looking at all that I just was starting to intrigue me, was looking at Northeastern, even though probably athleticism and size-wise, they definitely don't match up. But that shooting certainly stands out to me.
Mm-hmm.
So are there any – I know you talked about Belmont earlier and UC Irvine, but who's shocking us Thursday and Friday?
Well, as I said, Oregon. Yeah, that's a definite no. Well, I pick Oregon to win. I feel like, yeah, Belmont was my other choice. I'm keeping a close eye on that Yale-LSU one. I don't know. There's just something off about LSU this year. They're so talented. And, like, you know.
You mean the fact that they don't have their head coach?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that could be a thing. And then, yeah, Auburn-New Mexico State, like, was really interesting as, like, a possible upset. That was one I was paying a close eye to as well. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Buffalo, yeah, some of the other 6-11s, as nice as St. Mary's may be, like, I have a hard time picking them over Villanova. But, yeah, I'd just be surprised if there wasn't at least, like, one, like, 14-3 this year or something like that. I don't really know which one. That's the problem. Like,
you don't have a crystal ball?
Oh, heck no. Yeah, and my bracket destroyed like everybody else's.
I mean, also the Vermont-Florida State game, I know we talked about that, but that could be intriguing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Something's going to happen, and I wish I could figure out which one. Sometimes I have been on the right side of those. Of, I think, Purdue losing, what was it, 2 years ago, I think it was the Georgia – Baylor Georgia State game a few years ago, but definitely ones that have been wrong on a lot as well. So yeah. Need to try to figure out that ASAP. But
Who do you think is the one most likely to lose this year? Like the one seed most likely to lose early on.
Well, that was another thing of, you know, sometimes you get that 8-9 seed that can knock off the one in the first round, and
yeah,
you know, I think Gonzaga is up for that. Duke, I don't see having any problem with the VCU or UCF. And
yeah, I wouldn't think so.
I don't think UVA has any problem with the Ole Miss, Oklahoma. North Carolina, I mean, wouldn't imagine it, but I think Utah State and Washington are the best, really, two teams out of those eight that we're talking about. So you never know with that one. But I would say Gonzaga.
yeah, I'd say Gonzaga as well. Yeah, Syracuse just suspended Franklin Howard like the day before the tournament. So yeah, that's interesting. But I feel like I'd still probably take Syracuse over Baylor. And Syracuse just always seems to put a thorn in somebody's side. I don't know what it is, but man, they're not an easy team to play in the tournament.
So all right. What about Wofford Seton Hall? Wofford is kind of, you know, they're a seven seed, so they're not a sleeper, but they're the mid-major team that has went undefeated through their conference play, won the conference tournament, has one of the top well, they are one of the top shooting teams in the country, but Cameron Jackson down low and Fletcher McGee, who can catch fire. Do you see them potentially making the Sweet 16, or do you see them with a tough matchup with an Athletic Seton Hall team going out?
I feel like, I'm the tough matchup person here. I feel like as great as Wofford shoots, I think that Seton Hall is going to get it done. Miles Powell is just a beast and a great shooter as well. And, I think their size and athleticism might really pose some issues for Wofford. And Fletcher McGee is like an insane shooter too. Like, that guy makes shots that nobody should take. But it's as much fun as it is to watch him and some of the other guys. Like, you know, they're a solid team as well. Like, there's a reason that they're, you know, a seventh seed. But I'm picking Seton Hall there.
All right, last question for you. So for the, or maybe one of the last, but what's the number one game, if you had to pick one game out of all these first round games, the one that you are definitely watching, which one is it?
I'm going with Marquette Murray State. That's one I'm really excited for. I just really want to see what happens there. It'll be great to see John Morant go up against another like major school. Belmont basically, you know, was like a major that they got to play this year. It's actually kind of funny that, you know, Murray State gets the automatic bid, and Belmont technically, you know, was on the bubble and everything and had to win a play-in game. But, yeah, they still get, like, a higher seed technically than Murray State. Belmont obviously was a good team that they had to play. But, yeah, big non-conference, all we got to see from Ja was the game against Alabama and Auburn, that they lost both of those. And he had monster games in both, albeit, you know, pretty high turnover rate. You may not see like another like necessarily NBA point guard level matchup there, but it's going to be a tough matchup. And then the thing that most people complain about with John Morant as a prospect is sometimes he's his general like awareness and effort level on defense is pretty low. A large part due to the fact that he has such a tremendous role on their offense, seeing that he is averaging like 24 points per game and also leading the nation in assists. I think that's the game that I like immediately. I think whoever Murray State was playing, I'd be interested in. Just to see him play against another high major guy.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that game. And then the other two, Utah State, Washington, to me is going to be interesting. And then Villanova St. Mary's, I'm intrigued to watch, as well as your Oregon Ducks versus Wisconsin. So, those are definitely actually Louisville, Minnesota. Not that I enjoy watching Minnesota play, but I'm intrigued by that matchup. Yeah. So I'm excited for this time of the year. And I know if we're talking next week, the chalk that we've talked about now will probably be in disarray, but that's the fun part of at least the opening weekend. So any other closing thoughts from your end?
I think like Hartford would be a great place to be, because the Villanova St. Mary's, and then you have even Purdue Old Dominion, like, you know, that's a matchup I'm interested in as well. I'm probably most intently going to be watching that San Jose and seeing if Oregon can pull the 5-12 upset, which has become a favorite of the NCAA. And I want to see which team LSU brings to the table. You know, they're so talented. They could be a real issue, but just like my gut is saying that they may have a tough time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. So I'm excited to see it begin. Last year, it was Oklahoma, Rhode Island that kicked things off, and it was a low scoring first half game before kind of a crazy second half and overtime. I remember I had the over in that game, which was coming nowhere close, and then overtime got it there. So that was a actually had the first half under and game over. So that was a fun one, but hopefully there'll be some more of those to come, and I can get you back on and rehash what happened, as well as looking forward to the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. So thanks again for coming on, and glad we could redo this one after chatting early last week, but unfortunately did not get that one out.
Oh, no problem, Sean. As always, thanks for having me. And yeah, really looking forward to this first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
All right. Well, thanks again for coming on. Probably the most frequent guest that we have, and hopefully we'll have you on next week. But do have a special guest set up for next Wednesday. So I'm hoping that will stay true, and it'll be somebody that everybody sees on their TV screen a lot this weekend. But we'll wait until next week to hopefully release that one. So everybody, hope everybody's brackets does well tomorrow, as well as some of the bigger upset picks. So enjoy the weekend, and talk to you guys soon.